Welcome back. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number, 564-1290. New studio will have a cough button, so you'll be able to suppress your cough. Give her some Secrets.
Timing on that one.
So, 564-1290. After the program, 898-4242. And always at RadioRealEstate.com, and where you can hear Gene Graffy's program from 2 weeks ago. Check out your mom. Did you listen to it?
I did not.
I said a few things that were really out of line, and she was very gracious. I thought she was going to, you know, I was afraid your dad might now punch me or something. I was kind of being a little...
hostile interviewer?
A little hot, yes, yes.
Oh, Mark,
I was just
in
a bad mood, and I was kind of... But she's a trooper. Your mom, she's tough.
Well, she raised five kids, including Neil, so that would be... That would be a good preparation for your show.
So... We have horses, tacos, and tequila. Okay, I think it's great. What do you think? Is this just an encumbrance on the city? Why is it in the summer? Why don't we have it when during the off season to generate?
Well, that's kind of an interesting story, actually. You know, when they were first putting the fiesta together back now, this 81 years ago. And you always hear that it started because of the opening of the Lobero, and that part is true. That was the catalyst for it. But at this time, the local, we'll call them the Chamber of Commerce Business Group, were actually looking to do what they called a carnival. Not the carnival that we consider today, but that was their word for it. A carnival, sort of a thematic huge party to rival New Orleans and the Rose Festival over in Pasadena. So they were looking for something during the off-season. And the off-season then was the summer, because when our big crowd came, it was from the East Coast, because they would come out. It takes a long time to get to Santa Barbara, so you would come out in your train cars, box cars from the East Coast, and you came here typically maybe as early as November, but somewhere between November and up to maybe the beginning of March. So January, February would be very popular months. And people would stay here all this time, drop lots of money, and then eventually look around and say, boy, I ought to build myself a Montecito mansion here. So this part was all taken care of. The winter was taken care of. And then, of course, they brought all their servants and used up the city a lot, the groceries and everything else. So the idea was to create something during the off season, which was summer. And over the years and more recent decades, maybe after the 60s, 1960s, maybe even the 70s, people have said, maybe we don't need fiesta during the summer. It's crowded enough. We should do it, during some other part. But there's a couple points there that would be good to address. Number one, the impossibility of holding it another time of year outside of that season, because of the humongous amounts of performers who are students. Everything from grade school all the way through college. So you could not possibly get them to take off a week from class to do this. Then, of course, you've got all the parents who arrange for their summer vacation when the kids are off and to, do all this. So basically, summer is the time. But the second thing is that was when you talked to me about covering the economics of fiesta, that's very interesting, is I don't think people realize that fiesta is huge for this community, just huge. If we grew up here in Santa Barbara, we tend to take it for granted. If you're someone who doesn't like crowds and you go, oh, I leave town every time it's fiesta, that's okay. It's not for everybody. Nothing is one size fits all. So that includes fiesta. However, for those who say it makes no economic difference because the hotels are filled, guess again. We did a huge, huge study 5 years ago. It was timed out very nicely because I was teaching at UCSB that year, business econ students, and these were juniors and seniors. So I had a couple of my outstanding students who were graduates, and they helped work on this project. And what we did was we went through everything that was happening.
So you got them to work for free, is what you were saying?
That's correct, sir. That's always no. Actually, I think I gave them a small stipend, so then everybody feels happy and comfortable. But basically, that's the way to start it off. Yes, when you have a limited budget, it's always good to have interns. But I did pay them something just because you want to be nice, and it's a nice thank you for all their hard works. And they were wonderful, wonderful.
Well, we're going to pay you for today's program.
Excellent,
okay.
Excellent.
See Jaron after
in
the
gold
show.
Bars. Okay. Go ahead. Jaron just passed out, so I'll talk to Les. Okay, but what we did was this, basically. You're looking at the hotels to see how full are they, because everybody says the hotels are already full. They're already full during fiesta. We have gobs before and after fiesta. The summer, it's filled. So what we did was we found out, are the hotels filled? And we found is about one third of the hotels, this includes hotels, motels, B&Bs, I'm just saying all the rooms, okay, about one third of the properties are filled before, during, and after Fiesta. And typically these properties are going to be smaller properties, B&Bs, or properties with less than 40 rooms. Typically most of them around 4 rooms to about 20-something rooms.
Uh-huh.
So these guys are already filled before, during, and after Fiesta. Now, the rest of the places are only filled on average about 88%. Well, that's still pretty good, 88% filled. But Fiesta tops them all out. So Fiesta does fill everything in the, you know, 99.6% average that everything is, you know, filled during the week of Fiesta. So we're comparing before Fiesta, during Fiesta, after Fiesta. So first of all, you've got a 12%. And if you want to average that in with the hotels that are filled, that averages out to about 9%. So 10%, Fiesta tops it out. But there's one more important factor, which is everybody raises their rates during Fiesta week. So if you're filled 100% before, during, and after Fiesta, but the week of Fiesta, you raise your rates, okay, then this, when you multiply out the number of rooms and how they've raised their rates and the number of hotels that aren't filled who then fill the rooms and multiply that out, plus the fact that they raised their rates, this comes out to a great deal of money.
I can see why it's so popular. What about that rule where you have natural disasters, you know, floods and fires, prevents hotel owners from raising their rates? Obviously, it doesn't apply during Fiesta.
Not if the rooms are filled.
People are here.
And like I said, the fact is that if someone are filled before, during, and after, and they raise their rates during Fiesta, then we can credit Fiesta for that increase and addition into the economy.
Well, proportion to housing prices, it's probably still pretty inexpensive to stay in Santa Barbara. At hotels and motels, even when they raise the rates.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But regardless, the point is when you're trying to say what is the impact of Fiesta, it's enormous.
True.
Now, that was 5 years ago, and I won't go through all the formulas. It's hard to follow these kind of statistics on the air, I know. But nonetheless, I can tell you that the very conservative estimate, extremely conservative when we did these numbers and how we came up with these, that it represented $60,000 to $70,000 in bed. This is conservative. In additional bed tax that week alone to exactly coming into the city coffers just from people staying in the hotels. Then you still have the factor of the additional people buying things, you know, the visitor and how much that is per day going through. But basically, the bottom line is you do all the calculations, and I'll tell you there's an additional $16 million coming into the community just during the week of Fiesta.
So business people, but specifically the city itself,
the
to
city
mitigate
itself.
Costs for police and money they might contribute to Fiesta?
Well, that's a separate subject. So I'm talking about money that comes in is $16
right.
million. Okay, now you can say, okay, but what does it cost the city? And at this time, what's his name? Was it Robert Pearson? I hope I got the right name there, the city finance director. He was going through the city at that time, and I think he was more new to the city, and he was assessing what the costs were for different venues, different everything that was happening. There was a cost center, what was going on. So you could say, okay, here's Fiesta. Now you over in the parks department, are you doing overtime related to Fiesta, or if you're not, during your day, how many hours are devoted to Fiesta, so that they could sort of make some calculation on what everything was costing. And in some ways, that's good. In some ways, I felt like that came back to rub everybody, because then the Parks and Recreation then charges the different groups coming in to use the parks, what it's costing. You know, their fees are going way up. And that, in a certain sense, makes sense. On the other hand, you sort of feel like, well, that's what my tax dollar goes to charge the nonprofit, let's say the Italian boot club, to come in and use Oak Park and say, what's going to cost you so much for 2 days. They can't absorb that whole cost as a club, but it brings a benefit when they put on their event that's free to attend. You know, you're paying for the food, but it's free to go there and enjoy the entertainment.
Sure.
So in some ways, I don't like how that plays out. But nonetheless, to go back to our Fiesta, yeah, I think it was about $250,000 if we looked at all the different police, fire, something that's going through there. But considering what money, because remember, I haven't talked about the bed tax coming back to the city, basically, Fiesta definitely would pay for itself. You know, in terms of direct money back right into the city coffers, and then, of course, the multiplier effect and how good that is for the economy throughout that Fiesta Week.
My guest today is certainly paying for herself, Erin Graffy, historian, doing a great job plugging and justifying Fiesta here in Santa Barbara. The program is Radio Real Estate. We're nearing the end of our second segment. We have four segments, unless we go into overtime. And the fourth segment being reserved for the weekly multiple listing sales update that's coming up at the end of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more with Erin Graffy a little bit more about Fiesta. Our phone number, 564-1290. I know there was something in the paper about Fiesta money versus summer solstice. And a historic figure in Fiesta, Charles Presley. His house came on the market recently. I saw it again over on the Maison Hudson. And Pearl Chase. Got to talk about Pearl Chase.
No.
I kind of got Maria McCall. I got her cackles up when I emailed her and said that, you know, you made some comment about Pearl Chase not having a job.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We want to... I want to clarify that, and because she might put a hit out on you for besmirching the name of Pearl Chase. Mark, okay. Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.